matter of time, I suppose.
Welcome to Watchmen Minute, where we take a look at the director's cut of Zack Snyder's Watchmen, one squid-filled minute at a time. My name is Travis Bowe from the Real Comic Heroes podcast.
I'm Eric Nash.
And I'm Nathan Renly from A Goofy Movie Minute.
Hey, Nathan, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. So minute 61 starts with Lori asking if she's a puzzle to John and ends with John sitting alone. Who wants to kick us off first?
So they're having a classic couples argument that we've all had over the years about whether or not they see humanity as like an intimate relationship or just, and they see time as already being written.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all had that, you know, that fight where, you know, you're in bed together and then you, you know, split yourself and you know, freak out your partner, so.
Turn yourself into a blue man group.
Yeah. We've all been there. Yeah, she kind of ends her statement from last week of how he sees everything fitting together except for people, and then, you know, asks him if she's another puzzle to be solved. And I like that the Manhattan that she's talking to, you know, we don't see a response really from that one. And instead it cuts over to another Manhattan saying, "Have your men stand back." So, you know, he's still working while they're, you know, having this fight after this awkward, you know, moment in bed together. So it's interesting to me that, you know, he doesn't even take a break from that, you know, to deal with this this problem.
Well, and it's just so close too, because we then get, you know, him forming back into one. And you know, he's done with Adrian. They end their conversation. They're getting this work done, and you know, it's like it was so close to being, you know, being over with that part of what he was doing that she couldn't hang out just a little bit longer, and then he'd be more able to fully focus on her, as we talked about a bit last week.
Yeah, well, I would say she's waited long enough.
Yeah,
she's been his not a captive, but you know, she's put up long enough. So I'm guessing it's you know, well past time to move on.
They've probably been having relationship problems for a while because of his commitment to his work and his other split personalities.
Sure. Absolutely. I think we've definitely talked about, like, you know, she shows this understandably, you know, human need for connection, you know, earlier with kind of when we got their first one-on-one scene after Rorschach was invited to leave. You know, she basically gets told that his work, you know, is at a critical stage or something then, and tells her that she'll go see Dan. So, you know, in that moment, you can tell that there was a, you know, real sadness in her eyes as far as not being able to connect with John in that moment. So I like, you know, I love Lori in this minute, in this moment. This scene is just a great moment of her deciding what she's going to do or not do with her life from now on. You know, there's just the way she looks at him and tells him that, you know, I don't want that responsibility
right
anymore. It's it's like 180 degrees different from where she kind of was earlier in the dinner date, you know, scene with Dan, where she's talking about like being a prisoner in her life and, you know, talking about not wanting to upset the, you know, the country's weapon and just all that about, I don't know. It's nice to finally see her get some agency and really control where her life is going for once, instead of just being told where to be or.
And there's a bunch of, wind like blowing of hair between, her and, Adrian too on the monitor.
Yeah.
He has less hair to blow around, but there's a little bit, nice little effect there.
They set up some fans in the green screen room.
And is this the first mention in the movie of Karnak?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it might be.
Do you take any notes on what Karnak is or where that comes from? Or
no, if you got that, I mean, it's just something from the comic that I'm well aware of, and watching a movie, of course, multiple times. overall, comes into play a little bit later, but
yeah,
we'll get to that more then. What happens there?
Yeah, I only looked it up just looking up what Karnak is. It's the Karnak Temple Complex, commonly known as Karnak, and it's like a mixture of temples, chapels, pylons, and other buildings in Egypt. So it's just kind of it's almost like an open air courtyard, I guess, or connected, series of buildings and things like that. So
it's kind of like a campus.
Yeah, that's not a bad bad way to describe it. Yeah. So it's, I guess, it's the second most visited historical site in Egypt, second to the Giza pyramids near Cairo. So kind of ties into Adrian's interest in Egypt that we'll definitely get more of later. So did you guys notice what's on the monitor behind Adrian? Oh. Kind of the signage?
I don't recall.
It says sub-quantum unified intrinsic field device. For brevity, we'll just call that SQUID. So it's clever. It's a nice, clever
That's
way
to. That's
why
you said that.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about an actual squid.
Yeah, I mean, the letters, next to the, they spell out SQUID and then have the definition or whatever next to them. So I do like that little nod to the comic. So if you've never read the book, then it won't really make much sense. I definitely like it as the first time watching it, I noticed it, and nice little, Easter egg kind of thing. So
yeah, good eye.
So I'm watching as I kind of take my notes and everything, I'll go back to my Blu-ray copy and watch this section of minutes with the maximum movie mode, which is where Zack Snyder will pop up on screen and talk about kind of how they did some things and they'll cut away to little vignettes or special bonus feature kind of stuff. And in this section, Malin Ackerman comes on and talks about how important it was for her, to leave John and go to Dan. I guess we'll see in the next minute. And for the first time in a long time, feel like she's actually being seen. And I imagine, to the government, she's just been their assets plus one in a sense. And then to John, we've seen now that he barely he's almost barely aware of her anymore, or especially her needs. So they've obviously been growing apart. So, it would be tough if that was your life. And I imagine anyone would really struggle with their sense of identity in that situation. So I think it's really important that she, gets out of this relationship. And that's why, it's when she starts to become a character, I guess, especially in the movie.
Do you think it's hard to have an intimate relationship with someone without pupils where you can't tell where they're looking? They just kind of the cosmic eyes.
Ooh.
Because you communicate a lot through your eyes.
That's a good point, yeah. That would be hard. And especially knowing that he sees everything differently, it when he's looking at her, does he even see her face, or does he see, every atom that makes up her being? And then it's kind of like seeing the forest for the trees. Like, does he see her, or does he see what she's made of? That would be really an odd feeling. Like, even if he's looking at her, is he seeing her? So I'm sure that's added to her problems over the years.
There is music that then starts to play, and I've had a really hard time tracking it down. It's I mean, Travis, if you know much about the score, I mean, I sure did scrub through a lot of the score trying to really find it, and I just couldn't quite find anything sounding quite like some of this.
Yeah.
Kind of some strings kind of sharply hitting.
I've got notes on that. Where'd they go? It's later on because it's the same music kind of continues through the next couple minutes. But yeah, it's not on the soundtrack or the, you know, it's not part of Tyler Bates's score. It's one of those songs that was done by Philip Glass.
Well, yeah, and I found some stuff about that too, and I'm just not even totally sure that's the case though. I almost feel like there could be issues between the different versions of the movie when they're talking about some of that stuff. Where I found,
I think this the music here is like the prophecies that Philip Glass. I looked it up and then I'm not finding where I had that.
Well, there's something called Protest.
Yeah, there you go.
From something called Satyagraha.
Yeah, Satyagraha. I found that too.
Yeah. And then another title called Something She Has to Do from The Hours. And they're actually kind of supposedly, apparently, like temp tracks at first and then just kept around because they worked as well as they did.
Yeah.
But and I believe we should be having someone that's very much into the music. Are you much into the music, Nathan?
Into music in general, or this music,
In general, and then how much do you know about Philip Glass? we have someone that in a couple weeks, I think, or so, should be coming on, if not next week or a week or two.
Is it Philip Glass?
I believe. I wish.
He knows so much about Philip Glass.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that much about music scores or anything, just some bands. So I think it's interesting in this minute that they're, you know, John's attention is elsewhere, which is something that could happen. Usually you'd have a distracted eye. He's different people, but then the movie is also not fully committed to this conversation because it keeps cutting away. It's kind of taking on the perspective of Dr. Manhattan, where it's like, it's important that he's breaking up, but also there's the plot's moving. There's other important things happening at the same time, and it'd be negligent to just focus on one thing.
Yeah. There's this really great sadness in John's voice here when he says, you know, like when he says, no, she won't, you know, she won't be back. And, but then it's like, I remember he's the one who's lost touch, you know, and maybe that's just inevitable. When, you know, this being has all the powers that he has, maybe there's just no way around him losing touch. But like, do you think he could have avoided losing his connection to his humanity? Or is it impossible for someone with these abilities and powers to remain grounded? Like, guys, what do you guys think?
Well, I think that a big reason for the photograph, it's a new photograph to us of him and Janie Slater, and I think that's that between her and Lori, those were the kind of the two women for sure that kind of kept him grounded.
We see the photo of him and Janie, and that, you know, she was initially the person that would have kept him grounded. And something I hadn't considered was, you know, as soon as Lori leaves, he then starts looking at this photo of Janie. So I wonder, is that like his, it's weird. I never liked this moment where shouldn't he be looking at a photo of him and Lori, you know? I thought it was weird, and it's weird to the kind of betrays the relationship with him and Lori to go look at a picture of him with an ex from, you know, a long time ago. So,
well, Lori never really knew him as a man. He was already in a transition, but to your point about whether or not he can remain grounded, you know, the universe is so big and really everyone's relationships and problems are so tiny that it might've almost felt like charity or something for him to be spending so much time with someone that doesn't even know about those things. It's also kind of strange that he would be working for the government like this when he could be talking to Stephen Hawking or something.
Yeah, that'd be, oh man, that just made me think of, like, I'd love to a scene where he's sitting with Stephen Hawking, Carl Sagan, and like Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, that'd be a great, I'm sure boring as hell conversation, but I like the idea of him sitting down with like these brilliant minds or whatever. So,
well, the closest thing to that is his doing this work with Adrian. You know, in this alternate universe, Adrian is supposed to be the smartest man.
Yeah.
That's not a god, practically.
Right.
Well, that's true. All
right. Got anything else for this minute, or do we want to wrap it up and come back tomorrow?
Well, we hear someone say, he's been called many things, and we can certainly go in since we don't see that person yet. I believe we see him tomorrow. We can go. We can save that little bit.
Yeah, I didn't even have any notes for this minute since, yeah, it was kind of a voice off screen kind of thing.
Yeah, it's while Dr. Manhattan is sitting on his bed looking at this photo, we hear this voice come from somewhere. Where is it coming from?
Nathan, you got anything else for minute 61?
You know, I sure don't.
All right. Why don't you let everyone know, like, you know, a little bit about yourself and kind of what show or shows you're from? And
sure. My name's Nathan. I'm from A Goofy Movie Minute, where, as you might guess, we go through a goofy movie in single minutes. And I also do a podcast called Calvin and Hobbes Cast, where I look at individual strips of Calvin and Hobbes, and another one called The Off-Ive, O-F-F-I-V-E, and that's about each episode of The Office. So I like going through things in units, I guess, on podcasts would be what I do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, as of recording, I have listened. I am caught up with your just started Off-Ive
podcast. Oh, thank you.
I've been enjoying that. And then the Goofy Movie, I haven't seen that at all, besides just today, I think, is when you put up this crazy David in response to a current an ongoing thread in the Minute Makers group, the David Lynch's Goofy Movie Minute, or Goofy Movie. A YouTube, it's like a trailer. It's a fake trailer for
It's like a recut trailer, but it's a good movie.
I love A Goofy Movie.
I love David Lynch.
It is a really well directed animated movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, that you just added, like, you know, at least two more shows to my pull list, if you will. Like I was a massive Calvin and Hobbes fan, like, growing up. And so I'm definitely going to have to check that one out. And I love The Office. So are you going through it? So it's The Off-Ive.
Calvin Hobbes one is really short episodes. And it kind of changes from episode to episode, but they come out very sporadically.
Sure.
whenever I get around to it. The other ones are more regular with co-hosts and stuff.
I think it's been weekly, right? Is it, or every couple weeks at the most?
Yeah, weekly. And then A Goofy Movie is more like 2 weeks.
How are you doing The Office? Like, how are you going through it? Episode by episode, or?
It is episode by episode, but it's not going through scene by scene. It's more like looking at it from the entire perspective of knowing the whole show and having seen it a lot. And
okay.
Like jokes and looking at character development and kind of looking at whether or not the characters are good or bad and tracking like how the documentary aspect of it works. Because there are some other podcasts that go through, you know, the quotes and the scenes more specifically. So this is a little bit different. It's more like different lenses to look at the episode through. And we just love The Office, so we're have nice. A lot of fun talking about it.
Right on.
And you have a really good co-host too that apparently you found on Craigslist.
Yeah. Huh. Wow. Yeah, I found someone on Craigslist just to do the podcast with, Addie. The Goofy Movie Minute I do with my wife, and we met previously.
you didn't meet on the podcast and then get married?
No, but we would. The chemistry there is great.
Yeah, yeah. Right on. Man, yeah, I love all three of those properties. So you just added a lot more struggle in my deciding which podcast to listen to next. So
you have to go at 2x speed.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to bump it up from I'm already at 1.25, so. all right, did you mention, do you have places people can find you online with all those shows, or?
Oh, sure, yeah, if you take the name, they're all at Podiant, P-O-D-I-A-N-T, so it would be the name of the podcast, .podiant.com, or... you know, they're on iTunes and everything.
Sure.
And on Facebook too. There's a little group for those, which are not very active, but there you can find the episodes from there too.
Cool. And we'll obviously share your, you know, links and everything in the show notes. So
I appreciate that.
Well, all right. How long have you guys been doing? I know A Goofy Movie Minute is somewhat, you know, I've definitely seen you over the last, you know, several months. But how long back do the Off5 and your Calvin and Hobbes cast go back?
Well, the Off5 is only about, so this is the beginning of March. It's only been going a month or so.
Oh, okay.
And Calvin and Hobbes cast has been going for three or four years. I don't know.
Oh, wow, nice.
But it's really not that many episodes, because sometimes I'll post a couple in the same week, and sometimes it's 3 months before I post another one.
Sure.
So, but that one's just been kind of a pet project I've been doing for quite a long time.
Well, that's really cool. And I guess we will be back on Tuesday for minute 62. But until then, who watches the Watchmen?
We do.
We do.
Watchmen are over. Yeah.